From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voanews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news, first the headlines. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin officially opens 2023 ASEAN Tourism Forum. Indonesia explains focus of chairmanship in ASEAN at the 32nd ACC. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin officially opened the 2023 ASEAN Tourism Forum themed ASEAN A Journey to Wonderful Destinations in Prambanan Temple, Yogyakarta on Friday, February 3rd. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin expressed hope that the forum would accelerate regional tourism recovery and serve as a medium to discuss and improve tourism policies. Tourism ministers of ASEAN countries and representatives from partner countries including the ASEAN Plus 3, China, Japan, and South Korea, as well as India and Russia participated in the event. Ma'ruf Amin said that Indonesia is optimistic that the tourism sector to develop ASEAN as a stable, peaceful, and dignified region that upholds humanity and supports global economic stability. Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno has said the 2023 ASEAN Tourism Forum, or ATF, is expected to provide policy recommendations for encouraging economic growth in the ASEAN region through tourism. He noted during a breakfast meeting initiated by the U.S. ASEAN Business Council, or USABC, as an ASEAN strategic partner on Saturday, that in the post-pandemic era, the tourism sector has undergone changes from quantity basis to quality basis. Moreover, cleanliness, health, security, and environmental preservation have become important issues for tourists. While future challenges are becoming more complex, he believes that the discussion during the ATF ministerial-level meetings will provide policy recommendations. They would bring tourism issues into the post-pandemic economic recovery plan and expected to strengthen the tourism sector in facing global challenges. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said Indonesia's chairmanship in ASEAN 2023 aims to realize ASEAN matters, epicentrums of growth. In the opening of the 32nd meeting of the ASEAN Coordinating Council on Friday, February the 3rd in Jakarta, Retno Marsudi said the meeting on Indonesia's chairmanship in ASEAN is held in the midst of global challenges that impact all countries, including the Indo-Pacific region. A number of challenges mentioned by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi include geopolitical, energy, financial, and ecological crisis. At the regional level, she also mentioned disputes among powerful countries that have the potential to disrupt regional stability. Meanwhile, within ASEAN, according to her, there are also challenges to the Myanmar issue which tests ASEAN's credibility. Therefore, she said Indonesia has launched a number of programs to overcome the existing challenges.
Indonesia chairmanship aims to strengthen ASEAN capacity to be able to address future challenges, to strengthen its unity, to implement the ASEAN Charter in its entirety, and to ensure ASEAN can navigate geopolitical dynamics in this region.
In addition to conveying the focus of Indonesia's chairmanship in ASEAN in 2023, on this occasion, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, also congratulated the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Timor-Leste, Adelgiza Makno, for her presence at the series of ASEAN Ministerial Meeting Summit in Jakarta. According to her, ASEAN countries welcome Timor-Leste's joining ASEAN as an observer and will prepare a roadmap for full Timor-Leste membership. The ASEAN Ministers Retreat, or AMMR, took place at the ASEAN's building in Jakarta on Friday. The meeting was chaired by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and attended by foreign ministers from all ASEAN member countries, except Myanmar, which was represented by high-ranking non-political officials. At the opening of the meeting, Minister Marsudi said that as the chair of ASEAN, Indonesia would submit several proposals that could be discussed. However, the most important thing is the presence of Timor-Leste as the 11th member of the ASEAN family.
Our ACC meeting today is special and historical for ASEAN. I would like to recall that ASEAN leaders in Phnom Penh last November agreed in principle to admit Timor-Leste to the 11th member of ASEAN and to grant an observer status to Timor-Leste and allow its participation in all ASEAN meetings, including at the summit plenaries.
Timor-Leste participated in all official meeting agendas, including the ASEAN summit, after previously only as an observer. At the opening of the AMMR, Minister Retno Marsudi revealed that the meeting also discussed the implementation of the ASEAN outlook on the Indo-Pacific. It includes identifying concrete projects with ASEAN partners, strengthening ASEAN partnership with Pacific countries, and developing the ASEAN maritime outlook, ASEAN's internal issues, including the existence of Myanmar and other global issues. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. U.S. military fighter aircraft shot down a suspected China spy balloon as it floated off the coast of South Carolina on Saturday, February the 4th, drawing to a close dramatic saga that shone a spotlight on worsening Sino-U.S. relations. U.S. President Joe Biden said he had issued an order on Wednesday to take down the balloon, but the Pentagon had recommended waiting until it could be done over open water to safeguard civilians from debris crashing down to earth from thousands of feet or meters above commercial air traffic. The balloon was shot down about 6 nautical miles off the U.S. coast over relatively shallow water, potentially aiding efforts to recover key elements of the Chinese surveillance equipment among the debris in the coming days. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin first announced the shutdown, saying the balloon was being used by China in an attempt to surveil strategic sites in the continental United States. The United States and Russia faced off on Saturday, February the 4th, over a World Health Organization report on the humanitarian crisis in Ukraine, with Moscow saying it was politically motivated and Washington calling for it to be swiftly updated. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus' report was presented to the organization executive board, on which both Russia and the United States sit. It covered events in the first 9 months of 2022 and classed the situation in Ukraine, which Russia invaded on February the 24th, as one of 8 acute global health emergencies. The report documented more than 14,000 civilian casualties, with 17.7 million people in need of humanitarian assistance and 7.5 million Ukrainian refugees displaced across Europe. Russia's representative to the WHO board called it politicized and one-sided and described its reference to Ukraine as unfounded accusations. Moscow has denied targeting civilians in Ukraine since it began what it calls a special military operation, which has also devastated Ukraine's cities, killed thousands of combatants, and shaken the global economy. Last item. Floods have fully receded in Kedah and Sarawak, Malaysia on Saturday, February the 4th, with the situation in Sabah and Johor also improving. Malaysian authorities said Penang became the latest to be hit by floods in the country, with 59 evacuees as of Saturday afternoon. Bandar Baru District Civil Defense Officer Abdul Rahim Khairuddin said on Saturday that the bright weather in Kedah enabled flood waters to subside quickly, enabling all victims in Mukim Rilau at the Sekolah Kebangsaan Rilau Relief Center to return home. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on Sail Cendrawasih Bay prioritizes exports and investment. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Dipanjaitan, officially launched Sail Teluk Cendrawasih or Cendrawasih Bay on Friday, February the 3rd in Jakarta. In his remarks, Luhut Panjaitan said that the launching of the Cendrawasih Bay Sail in Papua focused on three main things, namely exports, investment, and developing regional potential. Sail Teluk Cendrawasih or Cendrawasih Bay was held in four regencies, namely Biak Numfor, Waropen, Yapen Islands, and Sarmi. The event is expected to accelerate the increase in the quality and quantity of marine product exports in those regions. This includes accelerating the development of supporting facilities, infrastructure, preparation of competent and competitive human resources, post-harvest support, cold chain that supports fishery exports, and regulation that support the business climate. Minister Luhut said at Sail Teluk Cendrawasih, an investment forum was held to attract potential investors who could stimulate regional development. The implementation of cultural arts exhibition and festivals, which lasted for 3 days from the 1st to 3rd February, could also be a good example in efforts to promote the region. Luhut added, Sail Cendrawasih Bay was an opportunity to strengthen the spirit of proud to travel in Indonesia. According to him, the spirit needs to be kept alive in the context of post-pandemic economic recovery, especially the tourism sector. According to Luhut, this activity was a stage for Papua to show the spirit of unity and togetherness in developing the region through collaboration between the regional government, central government, state-owned enterprises, private sector, and the community. It is hoped that the Sail Teluk Cendrawasih or Cendrawasih Bay activity would not only become a ceremonial activity, but could continue in the following years. Thus, the various program activities and development initiated through this event can be continued and developed for the welfare of the community. That was Spotlight of the Week.
Thank you.
I'll start today in history with February 5, 1933, the Seven Provinces Ship Incident. The Seven Provinces Ship Incident was a mutiny of Indonesian crew members that occurred aboard the Dutch Royal Navy ship, the Seven Provinces, off the coast of Sumatra. This incident took place on February 5, 1933, during the Dutch colonial time. At the time, the ship was heading for Surabaya. The reason for this was the decision to reduce the salaries of Dutch East Indies government employees by 17%, which was announced on January 1, 1933. The decrease in employee salaries was an attempt by the Dutch East Indies government to reduce the budget deficit due to the economic depression that hit the world at that time. However, the decision was met with serious challenges from all parties, both European, Indonesian, and Eurasian employees in the Dutch East Indies government. The rebellion aboard the Seven Provinces was stopped by bombing the ship by the Dutch naval aircraft. Turning to February 5, 1947, the Islamic Student Association established. The Islamic Student Association, known by Indonesian abbreviation HMI or HMI, is a student organization founded in Yogyakarta on February the 5th. Before the birth of the Islamic Student Association, a student organization called the Yogyakarta Student Association was first established. It is felt that the Yogyakarta Student Association did not pay attention to the interests of students who still upheld Islamic religious values. The non-channeling of religious aspirations is a strong reason to establish an Islamic student organization. HMI or HMI was initiated by Lafran Pane, a first-year student at the Faculty of Law at the Islamic College. I'll end today in history with February the 5th, 1971. Apollo 14 lands on the moon. Apollo 14 was the eighth manned spacecraft mission in the United States Apollo program. This aircraft became the third to land on the moon. It was the last of a mission age landing, targeting a two-day stay on the moon. The aircraft, with the crew of Commandant Alan Shepard, Command Module Pilot Stuart Rusa, and Lunar Module Pilot Edgar Mitchell, launched Apollo 14 on January 31, 1971, local time. After 40 minutes, Shepard and Mitchell made their lunar landing on February the 5th. On the moon, Shepard hits two golf balls on the lunar surface. Shepard, Rusa, and Mitchell landed on the Pacific Ocean on February the 9th. That was today in history.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply a letter from Detlef Jerk in Helmstedt, Germany. He was listening to German programs of our broadcast through frequency 3325 kHz on September 12, 2022 with the SINPO 43444. Hello, sir. Thank you for your reception report. Your letter has been replied by German section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here is the song.
Gemar sekali kita bersilat lidah sejak langit gelap hingga kembali cerah. Oh, gemar sekali kita berbeda pandang, semula meradang terkadang kembali tenang. Oh, sudah-sudahlah semuanya berakhir bahagia.
Mungkin kita hanya harus berpikir, berpikir mengapa rasa ini terukir. Mungkin kita harus menyadari ini bukan saja tentangmu atau diri.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Japan supports Indonesia in organizing the FIFA U20 and FIBA World Cup. Japan says it supports the holding of international events in Indonesia, especially in organizing the FIFA U20 and FIBA World Cup 2023. This was conveyed during some Japanese officials' visit to the Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports in Jakarta on Thursday. The delegation of Japanese officials was led by the counselor of the Japanese Embassy in Jakarta, Wakabayashi Takahiro. Secretary of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Gunawan Suswantoro, after the meeting said, the Japanese officials said they would be present at the 2023 FIFA U20 World Cup and FIBA World Cup 2023. The Indonesian side welcomed the plan and considered it as proving Japan's trust in Indonesia as the organizing committees. According to Gunawan Suswantoro, in line with Indonesia's grand plan to build a sports center, the Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports and related ministries intend to hold a comparative study at the Ajinomoto National Training Center, which is said to be the pride of Japan. The visit was part of a mutually beneficial diplomacy. As a follow-up to the meeting, Chancellor Wakabayashi asked that a special meeting be scheduled for the Japanese ambassador to Indonesia with the Minister of Youth and Sports regarding plans for cooperation, at the same time strengthening youth and sports relations between the two countries. That was My Indonesia today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now we will reply to an email from Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. He was listening to our English program through frequency 3325 kHz on January 9, 2023. Hello, Mr. Akil Bashir. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. Unfortunately, the signal was poor. I hope you would have never disappointed. So keep listening to our broadcast at voinews.id or through frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz. Well, Mr. Akil Bashir, here is the beautiful song for you. Enjoy!
Kalau kau benar-benar sayang padaku, kalau kau benar-benar cinta, perlu kau katakan semua itu cukup.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Tigawarna Beach, which opened in 2014, is one of the favorite beaches in Malang. It is located in Tambak Rejo Village, precisely in the Sendang Biru Conservation Area, Sumber Mancing Wetan District, Malang Regency, East Jawa Province. This water tourism object is included in the Celungup Mangrove Conservation, so it is an area that is still very clean. It has a panoramic view of the bright sea that soothes the eyes. Not only that, the stretch of white sand is so wonderful while the waves are not so big, even tend to be calm. Tigawarna Beach looks beautiful because it is surrounded by hills overgrown with mangrove forest. The hills from a distance look like green mounds. Therefore, the air on this beach area feels cool even though the sun is very hot. The most interesting view is the color of the sea. This beach has three attractive colors, namely blue, green, and reddish brown, hence the name Tiga Warna, which means three colors. It indicates the depth of the seawater. Reddish brown means it is close to the shoreline. For seawater that is green, it means it is located in the shallowest part, while blue seawater indicates the location is on the deepest side. Tigawarna Beach is also known as one of the best spots to see beautiful underwater coral reefs. Visitors can see various kinds of coral reefs directly by snorkeling. In addition, there are also many fascinating marine biota. At dusk, this beach presents a charming sunset view. Visitors will be amazed by the changing color of the sky from blue to orange. The seawater also changes color to reddish when exposed to sunlight. Even though it is located in the Southern Sea of Java, known for its big waves, Tigawarna Beach has calm waves and is okay for swimming. Visitors can safely plunge into the fresh, colorful seawater. In fact, the beach is the most pleasant place for activities such as strolling, playing beach volleyball, or building sandcastles. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We will meet again tomorrow with a different topic.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Before we end our listeners' mailbag, I will read a letter from Paul Jamet in France. Hello, Mr. Jamet. Your letter has been delivered to the French section. Please wait for the reply. Listen to whatever you are. Before I sign out from the listeners' mailbag program, I will play a beautiful song to brighten up your day. Happy listening.
Ku telah menutup pintu hatiku untukmu sejak ku temukan dalam hatiku tiada kamu. Kemana kamu pergi? Ku tak tahu. Saat kau pulang kembali pintu ku kunci. Jangan menunggu depan.
That was the third song of the day from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present you Miscellany.
Autobiography marks Makbul Mubarak's debut as an Indonesian feature film director. Although his career in the film industry is relatively new, Makbul's name has been nominated at various film awards. Makbul's genius in concocting autobiography stories won him the award for Best Original Screenplay Writer at the 2022 Indonesian Film Festival. Not only in this category, his name was also nominated for the Best Director. Recently, Makbul's name was nominated at one of the well-known film award events, the Asian Film Awards. In the 16th edition held this year, Makbul Mubarak's name was nominated for the Best New Director and Best Screenwriter categories. Previously, this film had also screened at the 2022 Venice Film Festival. In fact, Autobiography received a standing ovation for 4 minutes during its screening at the 2022 Venice Film Festival. This film started its journey from 2017 when it took part in the Torino Film Lab event. Autobiography also stars top Indonesian actors and actresses. For the main cast, there are Kevin Ardilova as Rakib and Arswendi Bening Suara as Purna. Apart from that, Lukman Sardi, Yusuf Mahardika, Rukman Rosadi, Yudi Ahmad Tajuddin, and Haru Sandra are also starring in this film. Autobiography tells the story of Rakib, who works as a caretaker in an empty house owned by a general named Purwawinata. One day, Purwawinata returned to visit the house to campaign as a candidate for Bupati or region in his village. Rakib accompanied Purwawinata during his campaign activities and discovered something unexpected about his employer. It was Miscellany.
I got you, right? Let me be the one to hook you. Hey, need the middle of the night. What? Be the one to guide you. I'ma treat you right. Your girl, don't stop. You make me fly so high. Yeah. Loving you is wrong, baby. I don't want your right side. Mamacita, you're my señorita. Every great king need a queen, so I need ya. No matter where you go, please take me with ya. Till the end of time, you're my only diva. One, two, three, and to the four. Do this one more time. Let's go.
Of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a song from an Indonesian female singer, Keisha Lefronka. Keisha Lefronka started her professional career as a singer in Indonesia after joining Indonesian Idol Season 10 in 2020. She started rising to fame after releasing the fourth single entitled Tak Ingin Usai in 2022. It becomes a hit and tops various music charts on Indonesia's digital music platforms. In 2023, she just released a single, Mengejar Matahari, which was popularized by the senior singer Ari Lasso. Indonesian composer Andi Rianto's song project has received a lot of positive responses from music lovers in Indonesia. Andi Rianto's distinctive arrangement, which is fresh and magnificent, blends with Keisha's distinctive voice, captivating anyone who listens to it. This song has been watched up to 3.1 million times in just 3 days since its release on Keisha Lefronka's YouTube channel. Well, listener, are you curious how magnificent this song is? Here is Keisha Lefronka's version of Mengejar Matahari featuring Andi Rianto. Happy listening!
Mencoba menggali makna. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kau boleh acuhkan diriku dan anggap ku tak ada, tapi takkan merubah perasaanku kepadamu. Ku yakin pasti suatu saat semua akan terjadi, kau akan mencintaiku dan tak akan pernah melepasku.
Hanya kau satu yang bisa membuatku damai bahagia. Untaian kata-kata terindah kan ku berikan hanya untukmu. Semua cintaku setulus hatiku dapat kau pastikan hanya milikku selalu. Terbawa arus derita dan terdampar di pangkuannya, tak ada satu yang bisa membuatku lebih bahagia. Walau cinta hanyalah kata, tak bisa kau lihat, hanya bisa kau rasa. Adanya hanya kau satu yang bisa membuatku lebih mengerti arti cinta. Oh, walau cinta hanyalah kata, tak bisa kau
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, our Instagram account at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok as well at VOI_official and our YouTube channel, VOI Official. So once again, thank you so much for listening to our English program. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of English program from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Okay.